Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gubertzi.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gubertzi, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I am very excited about this show. We are going to talk about becoming a successful entrepreneur with our guest, Nitin Chhoda. Nitin is an immigrant who arrived in the U.S., penniless in 2002, he started by delivering pizza, sleeping in his car, and not having enough money to afford winter clothing. However, his hustling mentality allowed him to transcend the grip of poverty to become a licensed physical therapist, entrepreneur, author, and public speaker. Now he owns and runs several multi-million dollar companies with over 30 employees worldwide. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Nitin to the show.
Mark, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I hope I can add value to you and your listeners.
I'm happy to have you here as well. I know we're going to talk a lot about entrepreneurship, but before we do that, I'd like to ask you a why question first. So for you, why did you first pursue entrepreneurship?
I think I'm no different from any other entrepreneur, which is you're fundamentally unhappy with the way things are, and you want to either improve things or capitalize on an opportunity that you see. You're not happy with the status quo. So for me, I'm always the kind of guy that wants to do pretty much every single thing better. I remember when I was 8 years old telling my mom not to be in the kitchen because I wanted to make my own meals because I thought I could do them better than her. And that hasn't changed in any other aspect of my life. I think that I've always had a need. Call me anal, call me crazy, but I've always had a need to do everything a little bit better than we're told it could be.
I really love that idea of trying to do something better than what is expected and to even surprise yourself with the results. I mean, it's really surprising and incredible how you went from a penniless immigrant to someone with several multi-million dollar companies with over 30 employees worldwide. Can you share with us how you went from that penniless immigrant to the guy with multi-million dollar companies?
Yeah. I mean, Mark, I wanna start by saying that the kind of opportunity that I've enjoyed in the United States of America is just unheard of anywhere in the world. I know that definitively because I spent the first 24 years of my life in India. So I would say a large part of my success, I mean, it has to do with me as a person, some amount of luck, the people around me. But honestly, a large part of that can be attributed to to America, to the fact that America rewards entrepreneurs who have something to offer that is going to benefit consumers or other businesses. I don't think I would have been able to achieve any of the success I've achieved if I was in any other country in the world. So I do want to say at the outset that I live and I believe in the American dream. So I just wanted to sort of make that, set the stage with that. Now, as far as how I did it, a combination of surrounding myself with the right people, self-belief, and literally a never say die attitude, because it's very easy when your back is against the wall to give up, to blame other people, to complain. Taking the difficult road, because business is never a straight line. Business is a whole bunch of zigs and zags and crashes and burns and failures. In fact, I would go so far as to say the average business owner goes through more failure than success. It's the successes that allow you to reap the rewards, and it's the failures and how you deal with them that defines you. So I can tell you that my attitude has always been, what's the best thing I can do in this situation? Who can I call to help me get advice to get out of this mess? As opposed to, woe is me, the world sucks, everyone's against me, and I hate the world. And I still deal with situations where I'm sort of caught off guard. But I think the attitude has a lot to do with it. I hope that answered your question.
That definitely answered my question. I love being able to be with the right people. Attitude definitely matters. I feel like if you're born in America, you could take that for granted, what you've been given. So thank you for giving us that whole new view from the immigrant standpoint. And I mean, I'm really impressed with how you've been able to build all these different companies. But I feel like when people build multiple companies, it's possible to neglect one of the companies, like, unintentionally, but it just happens. So how do you continue to build companies without neglecting the companies you have already built?
You know, that's an excellent question. I wanna just take a step back and say that, you know, if you're an entrepreneur and you wanna, let's say, you know, your business grosses, let's say 100,000, 200,000 a year, you can go from zero to 100, 200,000 a year by hustling, by working hard. Obviously, I mean, you have to have a good service, that goes without saying. But to go from the zero to 100, 200,000 mark is all about hustle, is all about working hard. But to go from 100, 200,000 to 300,000, 400,000 is all about, you know, effective marketing. It's about getting more strategic with how you spend your money. I mean, if your business brings in $400,000, what do? Do you take the extra money and, you know, buy ads on Google, Facebook to get more customers, or do you go out and buy a, you know, do you go out and buy a BMW? I just so that you know, I drive a Honda Civic. I've had that car for 10 years. I'm probably going to drive that car till the wheels fall off, because I'm not the kind of guy that, you know, splurges. I'm the kind of guy that takes cash flow from one business to either A, grow that business, or B, start a new business. That's fundamentally how I'm wired. So to answer your question, I think you go from zero to 100,000 by hustle. You go from 100 to 100,000 to 300,000-400,000 simply by way of, you know, strategic marketing. But how do you go from 300,000-400,000 to 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, 10 million? Two things. You need the right people around you, like rock stars who believe in you, who you can motivate, who are paid well, and systems, like literally written systems for everything. Like we're talking about, you know, literally a system that says, you know, turn the key clockwise when opening the door to the office, you know, flip on the light switch, you know, like literally written systems for every darn thing you can think of, and get as granular as you can, because those systems will save you if, you know, if the people abandon you, or if, you know, someone has to go on a long leave of absence. So I think, so the short answer to your question is knowing how to grow a business from zero to, you know, couple hundred thousand, couple hundred to 500, 500 to a few million. That is crucial. And then once a business starts to generate cash, don't go out and buy a car. Don't go out and buy a big house bigger than what you need. Please, you know, don't go out and, you know, do something like, I don't know, buy a $5,000 watch. Invest that money in the business so that it grows further. And for that matter, invest the money in a new business, because money should always serve as something that sort of works for you, not builds useless assets. Again, that was a long answer to your short question, Mark, but I hope I answered your question.
No worries, you definitely answered it. And I really love the idea of providing the systems, because, I mean, you have over 30 employees right now, and you need to have the systems for them to do in order to be able to run multiple companies, because I understand that it's not like, you're not working, like, putting in 100% of the time in the companies. Like, you're putting in as much of your time as possible, but there are, like, a lot of other things that you're obviously not doing. And one thing also that I see a lot is that entrepreneurs, they feel like they're stuck. And I feel like everyone feels stuck at a certain point. So how do you get unstuck?
You know, I like that question, because there are times when I still feel stuck. So if you're an entrepreneur, I want to say, be prepared to deal with failures. Be prepared to deal with getting stuck. Be prepared to deal with experiences that you would never even have imagined. I mean, a few years ago, Mark, out of the blue, one of my companies got sued. There was no reason for the lawsuit. I mean, it went away because, you know, it was there was nothing to it. But the very fact that, you know, you get sued, it's worse than being stuck. It's being dragged into, you know, court proceedings and lawyers and, you know, whatnot that you don't even want me to get into. So as an entrepreneur, be prepared to deal with crazy stuff. How do you get past it? Coming back to the two things that really matter, when you're in a difficult situation, what is a single thing that you can do that would be the best course of action in that situation? Ask yourself that question. And number two, pick up the phone and call someone who can help you get out of that situation. It might be a lawyer. It could be an accountant. It could be a friend who's been in a similar situation. It could be a business coach who can guide you through it. When you're stuck, don't sort of retreat back into your cave. Don't look within. Look outside for help. And, you know, if you've put in the time and effort to build connections, if you're good to other people, if you're a giver, then, you know, others will give back. I always say this in all my interviews, be a giver, because there'll be a time when, you know, when you'll need someone to give to you, because life gives to the givers and takes from the takers. Don't be a taker, be a giver, because there'll be a day when you, you know, when you need someone to give to you.
I really love that idea of being a giver. It's something that I also emphasize in a lot of my content. And I really love the idea of having a coach to help you out. In fact, it's something that I am considering doing really soon, like both from the coaching standpoint and also getting a coach. So I do find that really interesting. Like, you hit the sweet spot of things that I'm paying attention to right now. But going back to the giving, I mean, that is such an important habit for becoming successful. And I'm wondering, what were some of the other important habits that you had to develop that guided you to success?
I think, you know, one important habit was being very frugal. For me, honestly, when I look at money, Mark, money to me is a vehicle to grow a business and to be able to buy the things you want to buy. So for me, if you were to say, hey, Nitin, I'm going to give you $100,000 right now, I would be like, should I put it in some stocks that maybe can give me 1 or 2% dividend? Should I put it in Facebook ads so that, you know, I can use it to grow my business? Or, you know, should I put that money in the bank until I can figure out what to do with it and how I can make it work for me? I know of a lot of people, if you gave them $100,000, they'd go to Vegas, they'd go to a casino, they'd stay in the Bellagio penthouse, they'd buy a Mercedes. You know, they'd buy a $10,000 chandelier. So I'm not that kind of person. So I think a lot of it has to do with your attitude towards money. I think that, you know, successful people have the right attitude towards money. And people who either don't have a lot of money or don't know, haven't sort of really dealt with money, or for that matter, have a poor relationship with money, they have what I tend to call as poverty consciousness. What I mean by that is, I mean, and this is, by the way, one of the reasons why those who win the lottery tend to lose the money very quickly. They either give it away to friends and family, they don't know what to do with it, you know, they invest in something that, you know, that sort of, they get scammed into investing in something. So at the end of the day, I think the two things for me matter. One is my relationship with money. I'm not really impressed with a lot of money, other than the fact that what it can do for me to grow my business. Other than that, like I said, you know, I don't see the need to buy fancy schmancy things, because I really have all I need. And number two, I think I'm very good at hiring and motivating people. It's very important to be able to hire and motivate the right people around you, because they are the people who will, you know, help your business go from, you know, a couple hundred thousand to a few million. Because the right people represent you, they institute your systems, they are the face of the company. And I honestly have my staff that does way better customer support than I do. If I have to do customer support for my companies and my products, I suck at it. I suck at it, because, you know, I'm not involved in being the face of my company from a customer support standpoint. I'm involved in hiring and motivating and paying the people who will, you know, sort of carry the message to the masses and drive it forward from there. And that's always been my goal, because, you know, you got to focus on the things that allow you to add the most impact. And I think that goes right back to the people and the systems. And again, that is tied to my relationship with money. Because if I was just motivated by money, then I would find the cheapest people I could find. I would just focus on sales. I wouldn't care about, you know, relationships. I wouldn't care about systems. So for me, you know, one thing leads to another, and it's all part of a connective fabric, which is success as an entrepreneur.
I really love that view towards money, because I feel like a lot of people, they tend to view money in the wrong way, whether they just lose count of all their spendings or just spend carelessly. So that is such an important habit to develop, and also a critical part of the entrepreneurial mindset. And I'm wondering, how exactly do we build this mindset that all entrepreneurs, like the top ones, are associated with?
You want to hear something interesting, Mark? So I was at the bank the other day. I want to share a quick story with you, and then I'll tell you how that ties into the answer to your question, which is a great question, by the way. I was at the bank the other day with my mother-in-law because, you know, we had, you know, there was something, some paperwork we had to sign. She needed my help, and, you know, I was in the area, so I helped her. And then it came up that I was going to travel to India, and, you know, I always fly business class. So she goes, "Why do you fly business class? Why don't you fly economy?" So I told her, "Why do you drive a car when you could ride a bicycle to work?" That's what I asked her. So she goes, "Well, that's not the same thing." I go, "Yes, it is." And she goes, no, you can travel economy." So I didn't want to argue with her. I said, "I understand. No worries." And by the way, this isn't about my mother-in-law. This is an example. My mother, by the way, has the exact same mindset. She's 72, born and raised in India. She now lives with us. At the end of the day, some people around you, it could be your family, it could be, you know, your parents, your siblings, heck, it could be a spouse, right? If they have, and again, this is not a diss on them, this is how they're raised. If they have what I call the poverty mindset, they think of every way to save money as opposed to ways to make more money. So for me, when I'm going to spend $5,000 on a business class ticket, which is one of the things I spend on, by the way, because I'm not, you know, I want to travel business. I'm not thinking about, oh no, why am I spending 5,000 when I could spend 1,000? I'm thinking about what can I do on the flight, before the flight or after the flight, to make that money and then some, because I can think more clearly, and I can send out an email, or I can make decisions that can help me make more money. So I think, hopefully this answers your question, Mark. The focus should be on making more money, using it to improve your lifestyle when necessary without unnecessary expenses. And then sort of surrounding yourself with people who do not have a poverty consciousness, who have the mentality of abundance, which sometimes is not easy to find. Does that make sense?
So I find it really interesting how you say I'll spend more for my airplane ticket, but I'll do stuff during that time to figure out how to make more money. And I love how you challenge yourself in that sense, because you already put the money down, so you've, in a sense, committed to a higher ticket, and you're figuring out how do I increase the revenue. I love that part of your entrepreneurial mindset. That is definitely something that I'm going to insert into my mindset as well. But one thing that I heard, and this was when your assistant contacted me to make this whole episode possible, was you affectionately referred to your two-year-old as your mentor, your two-year-old son. So right. Why do you refer to him as your mentor?
I think here's something unique about children, right? They look at the world through a very clean lens. They haven't experienced the ups and downs of life. For them, life is about, you know, eating, pooping, playing, watching some cartoons, and, you know, sleeping 14 to 16 hours a day, because that's what kids need, right? Kids need a nap every afternoon. They need a lot of sleep so that their brains can grow. So when I look at my son, I realize the simplicity with which he views life. You know, he says things like, time for food, or he says things like iPad, or he says things like Daniel Tiger, which is a cartoon that he watches. It's the new version of, you know, it's the iteration of Mr. Rogers. So I call him my mentor because, you know, when I look at him, or for that matter, when you look at any child, they teach you about the value of simplicity, not necessarily innocence, because that's a separate issue, but simplicity. And fundamentally, you know, business and life should be simple. Simple in the sense you spend your time with the people that make you happy. Simplicity in the sense that your business should fundamentally be about increasing sales and increasing revenue while minimizing unnecessary costs. So at the end of the day, we need to keep things simple. I think as adults, we're bombarded by just so much overload. Facebook, Instagram, you know, Twitter, Pinterest, and God knows what other tools will be there in 10 to 20 years. The overload will only increase. I believe it will exponentially increase with in the next few years. That we forget the need to be simple. So I call him my mentor because he's teaching me about the importance of simplicity.
Thank you for sharing why you referred to your two-year-old as your mentor. I mean, I just had to ask that question once I heard that you do so. And the simplicity part, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, people in the beginning, or like especially 2 years old, really simple way of life. And that trend, that can help us a lot in business to be able to acquire that simplicity. But another thing we have to acquire also is resilience, because the big challenges we face, I mean, our resilience determines whether we walk up to the peak of those small mountains or stop somewhere in the middle. So how do we develop resilience?
I think resilience is a direct function of how much struggle you've been through, Mark, because if someone has been through a lot of struggle in life, if you've had to pay your way through school, in my case, you know, if you've had to deliver pizza just to make ends meet, sleep in your car because you couldn't pay rent, couldn't afford a winter jacket in the middle of winter in New Jersey, and that happened to me too. The more struggle you go through, the more resilient you become. And I think struggle fundamentally is a very important part of the human condition. So again, you know, if you've had to pay your way through college, if you've had to, knock on doors to make sales, that's a good thing, because that lesson will help you a lot more than if you're working in a fancy schmancy office space in New York City and, you know, you're partying every night. Because guess what? Nothing lasts forever. So I think resilience is a direct outcome of the level of struggle you've been through. And I hope that, quite frankly, my son, who's born and raised in the U.S., who right now goes to daycare, he, you know, watches iPad. He has his own iPad. He's, you know, watching cartoons while he's being fed by my mom, who, by the way, lives with us. So basically, he's got a 72-year-old grandmother who will pretty much give him whatever he wants. He's got a dad who's strict with him. He's got a mom who'll, you know, who's semi-strict with him. But my son has everything he wants. But I hope, and I'll make sure, that my son struggles. And I don't say that because I'm some sort of crazy, sadistic person that means him harm. I want him to struggle so that he becomes tough and resilient. And I think our resilience is a direct function, is a direct outcome of how we were raised and the amount of struggle we went through. And again, the more struggle you go through, the tougher you'll end up becoming. Otherwise, you're going to be, you're going to be sensitive and freaking out at every little thing that comes your way.
That is a great way to end the first part of this episode. I mean, I've never really saw it as the more you struggle, the more resilient you become. And I can see this in my life as well. I won't ramble on about examples, but I definitely do see that connection. And I know you've had to deal with a lot of big challenges that helped you develop your resilience. I mean, you mentioned some of them, but diving into the second part of this episode, what is one of the big challenges you faced in your life and how did you overcome it?
Let's see. There are so many that I can think of. I'm trying to find the right one. So a few years ago, one of our businesses actually got sued. Like I said, there was no reason for the lawsuit, but we did get sued. Setting aside the fact that there was no legitimacy to it, and the fact that it was eventually, you know, tossed out, it taught me a very humbling lesson. It taught me that every business, regardless of what you do, has to have a very comprehensive insurance policy. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not just talking about doctors with malpractice insurance. I'm talking about, you know, it's okay. I mean, even if you sell, I don't know, let's say you sell skincare, or you sell nutritional supplements, or you sell, I don't know, you sell, baby toys. You've got to have insurance, because insurance can protect you in the event of, a claim. So that to me was a big lesson. How I managed to get myself out of the situation was, again, this comes back to hiring the right people. When I was sued, I called, I spoke with two attorneys, and I kid you not, Mark, the first attorney was like, oh, this looks terrible. It's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars to defend yourself. It's going to be a tough one. Just be prepared for a long legal battle, blah, blah, blah. The second lawyer said, you know what, let's just call these folks and tell them XYZ, which is exactly what we did. And the whole matter got wrapped up in 3 months because we were able to essentially call the bluff of the other side and get it sorted out. So this, why am I sharing this? It's not about, I'm not trying to, provide lessons in legal maneuvering because I'm not a lawyer. But I'm trying to say that when you get advice from the right person, you can not only get out of any business situation. I'm not claiming to know all the answers, right? I mean, I'm probably sure that there are more things I don't know about than the things I do know about. But again, the right people, hiring the right people, even if that means you have to pay them top dollar, but hiring the right people is very crucial to go from point A to point B. And when you're hiring, someone to represent you, whether it's a lawyer, an accountant, an attorney, whatever, make sure you hire someone who is sharp, who knows what to do, and who puts your best interests as opposed to, their defensive position or their preconceived notions. And when you find that person, pay them whatever the hell they ask for. Work three jobs if you have to, but find and hire and pay the right people, and your professional stature, your emotional capability, and your long-term potential as an entrepreneur will significantly increase if you're around the right people.
That is a very interesting challenge, and I do love the idea of surrounding yourself with the right people. Surrounding yourself with these people, they give you great advice, they give you motivation, and they keep you accountable. So I do love that idea, and I know that you've learned a lot of lessons throughout your journey. You shared a bunch of them with us today, and I'm wondering, what is the best lesson you have learned on your journey?
Well, let's see. The best lesson I've learned on my journey is, whenever you're in a situation where, you need help, make sure that you always have some sort of a plan B, which is one of the reasons I'm in four businesses, because, if one of the businesses was to change all of a sudden, I can redirect my time, energy, resources, marketing capital, staff over towards another business. So I know a lot of businesses focus on one thing and take it right up, right into the stratosphere. And that is, that's called growing a business vertically. But I believe in more of a sort of horizontal diversification approach. Right now, I own four businesses, all of which do different but related things. And my income is more or less evenly distributed between four businesses. So what that means is if one business was to, go under, which by the way is not going to happen, but if that was to happen, then the other three businesses will keep going. And that's always been my strategy. Always have a plan B in business so that you're not dependent. All your eggs are not in one basket.
Thank you for sharing with us that big lesson that you have learned on your journey. I do find that a very interesting lesson, because you definitely want to have the diversity when it comes to all the different business opportunities that you bring in. And the next question I ask comes from Half. I know that listeners want to hear about their book recommendations. Half, some people think that the way I'm buying books lately is like a midlife crisis, which it's not in my opinion, but what are three great books you can think of right now?
Sure. So there's a book called Influence, Influence, Influence by Robert Cialdini, Cialdini. Excellent book that talks about several sort of human strategies and human principles and helps you understand human psychology. The second book is actually a book called No Man's Land. It's a book for how to go from a mid-sized company to a large company. It's from someone. It's by Doug Tatum. That's T-A-T-U-M. So that's the second book, No Man's Land. And the third book is actually an interesting book called Outrageous Advertising from someone called Bill Glazer that has, you know, pretty crazy examples of advertising. You know, guys dressed like Superman, you know, telling their clients how they would give them superpowers. I know it sounds ridiculous, but pretty outstanding book on, you know, things you can do, unusual things you can do to get into the mind space of your customers in a cluttered world.
Thank you for sharing those three great book recommendations. I'll be sure to take a look at those when I'm making my next book purchases. I've been asking a lot of questions throughout this episode, and I want to open the door to you for questions. So what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Yeah, Mark, I mean, I think we need to ask ourselves, is our life balanced as entrepreneurs or as you know, people? Mark, a lot of your listeners are entrepreneurs, is that correct?
Yes.
So again, the question would be, is my life balanced as an entrepreneur? And I have an opinion on that, if I may.
Sure.
Can I share my opinion or is that an open question for your listeners?
It's an open question for listeners, but we love to throw in as many opinions and insights as possible.
So, Mark, I wrote a book called Total Activation, and I can talk about where they can get that book if you want me to. But I wrote a book called Total Activation, which talks about the five foundations of balance in life. I call it the EPSSI principle. E for emotional, P for physical, S for social, S for spiritual, and I for intellectual. Emotional health. Are you doing things that make you happy and emotionally satisfied? You know, are you doing things that drive you as opposed to just, you know, being monotonous and just spinning your wheels every day? P for physical. Are you challenging yourself from a physical fitness standpoint, and are you eating healthy? Or at least are you doing that as often as you can? S for social, are you surrounding yourself with people who encourage you, who motivate you, who help you get to a higher level? Spiritual, are you religious? Whether you are or are not, that's fine. But do you believe in something other than yourself, whether it's a higher being or whether it's a bigger purpose to your existence, whether it's helping others? Or you know, just sort of, you know, spreading, sort of paying it forward, very important. And I for intellectual, are you doing something to challenge your brain? You know, we talked about reading books, could be something as simple as doing crossword puzzles. For me, playing with my son, the amount of things he learns, I mean, he absorbs things like a sponge. That for me is intellectual stimulation, because I'm constantly reading out words to him and, you know, showing him pictures of stuff. And sometimes I'm like, I didn't even know that was called such and such. So for me, it's fun and it's intellectual stimulation. So I would say that balance comes from emotional, physical, social, spiritual, and intellectual stimulation or improvement, which should be an ongoing process for all of us. Whether you're a 16-year-old going, you know, just sort of heading towards college, or whether you're a 72-year-old in retirement, try and balance yourself and improve yourself in each of these five areas.
Thank you for sharing those five very valuable areas, which you outlined in your book. And I appreciate the time that you spent sharing all of your great insights throughout this episode. So I'm wondering, where can we find you on the web? This would be an opportunity to go into more detail about your book and just some of the other places where we can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is www.totalactivation.com. Again, that's www.totalactivation.com. On our website, you can get our book, you can get our skincare products, our nutritional supplements, which are part of the Total Activation philosophy. And, you know, we appreciate the opportunity to help get the word out. If anyone contacts us through the Contact Us page on our website, and they mention your name, Mark, they mention Mark Huberty or they mention your podcast, we'll not only give them a discount to any of our products, but if they mention your name and if they have a question related to entrepreneurship, I will be happy to personally respond to them. My team will forward that email to me and I'll be happy to help any of your listeners in any way.
Thank you for sharing that resource with us and discounts. Breakthrough Success listeners, if you want to take advantage of that, you can go to the show notes where you'll not only get those links, but you'll also be able to get all the notes to this episode if you forgot to take them. So the link to the show notes is markguberty.com/E46. Nitin, it was a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast. Thank you for taking the time to share your insights with us today.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markguberty.com/iTunes or markguberty.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markguberty.com/retweet. This podcast is a production done by Mark Guberty. For more insights, head on over to markguberty.com.